Today we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, and going through the remainder of this chapter, which is verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's begin in verse 14, and we've already covered the first part of this verse, where Paul says that the love of Christ constraineth us, that is, the love of Christ compels or urges us. And in the last part of the verse, Paul said, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Notice that he says that one, that is, Jesus, died for all. And it is a Bible fact that Jesus died for the world. Jesus died for all men. Hebrews 2 verse 9 says that he tasted death for every man. 1 John 2 verse 2 says that he is the propitiation not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And he says in verse 14 that if one, that is Jesus, died for all, then we're all dead. And he's talking about being dead spiritually. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 verse 23, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 verse 23. So sin brings spiritual death. And this is the death that he's talking about here. Now, being spiritually dead means that a man is separated from God. And there are two ideas that go hand in hand in this passage that we're looking at, and these two things stand out. First of all, death in a spiritual way, spiritual death, which is separation from God. And then, a few verses later in this same chapter, he's going to use the word reconciliation. He's going to talk about being reconciled to God. So the idea of being separated from God and then reconciled to God is what you're going to see in this passage that we're looking at today. Then in verse 15, Paul continues, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Jesus died so that men should not live for themselves. Jesus died so that we wouldn't live to serve ourselves and to please ourselves any longer, because that's what man does when he's in sin. But when a man turns to God, the Bible shows that he learns to deny himself. Like Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, we don't live for ourselves anymore, but we live for the one who died for us and rose again. That's verse 15. So Jesus died so that men would live not for themselves, but so that they would live for him, so that they would serve him. In verse 16, Paul said, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. What does he mean by that? What does he mean when he says that we don't know any man after the flesh? Well, after the flesh means according to the flesh. And that means according to worldly human thinking. That's not how we know men. The New King James Version uses the word regard. It says we do not regard any man after the flesh. So we don't look at any man according to the flesh, that is, according to worldly human thinking. To regard a man, that is, to judge or to look upon a man according to the flesh, means that you look on and you look for outward, earthly traits. And that is exactly what some of these Corinthians were guilty of. The very thing that Paul says we don't do as Christians is what some of these Corinthians were guilty of. Look back at chapter 5, verse 12. There's where he said, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. That's what some of these Corinthian Christians were doing. They were glorying in, they were regarding people according to their appearance, and according to earthly qualifications and earthly standards rather than the truth of God's word and according to the heart. So as Christians, he's saying that we don't judge each other. We don't regard each other in such carnal ways. These Corinthians had that problem when he wrote to them in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's why he had to get on to them, because they were priding themselves in human knowledge, in human wisdom, in human speaking ability, and so forth. But some of these people still have that problem. That spirit is still in some of these Corinthian Christians, and you'll see this later in this book, because he asked them plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, do you look on things after the outward appearance? That's what he means by knowing or regarding men after the flesh. He says, as Christians, that's not what we do. And then he goes on to say, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no longer. Now he says, that is the way that we used to know Christ. That is how we formerly looked at Christ. So this is something very revealing that Paul is talking about here. Paul and others had wrong ideas about the Messiah. Most of the Jews thought that the Messiah was going to be a great political leader, and so they had the wrong impression about Jesus Christ. And some of them had also listened to the wrong things about Jesus before they were converted. So Paul and these other men had expected a different kind of Messiah, and they thought, before they were baptized, that Jesus of Nazareth was a fake. That's all they knew. And that was a fleshly, human outlook. That's what he means that they had in the past known or regarded Christ after the flesh, according to fleshly standards, but not anymore. Now things have changed, now things are different, and that's what he addresses in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice that he says in verse 17, if any man be in Christ. And one of the questions that we always need to raise is, how do we get into Christ? If being in Christ is where you become a new creature, and according to Ephesians 1 verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, then we need to be in Christ. Well, how do we get into Christ? And the Bible answers. In Galatians 3 verse 27, Paul said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we enter the body of Christ. And he says that if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. You are a new creation of God because you've been born again. In Christ, a person is a new man. He is a new creation. And he says that old things are passed away. The old ways that we had before we were baptized, the old ideas that were wrong before we were converted, and the old sins that we have committed are in the past. In Ephesians 4, verse 22 and 24, Paul talks about this change. And he says that the old man is gone, but now we are a new man in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Paul uses the same illustration. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So Paul says, old things are passed away, and all things are become new to the person who is a Christian. There is a new and a different attitude in a Christian. A Christian has a new outlook. He has different values. He has a different way of looking at himself. He has a different way of looking at God. He has a different outlook on other people. He has a new outlook towards sin and righteousness. And he has a completely different way of looking at life and death. Everything is new for a child of God, because he has changed on the inside. He is the same physically, but he is totally different. He is a new creation on the inside. Now, beginning in verse 19 and going through verse 21, now Paul talks about reconciliation. He's talked about spiritual death, which is spiritual separation from God, beginning in verse 14. Now he's going to talk about reconciliation to God. Notice the word reconciled and reconciliation beginning in verse 18. He says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he uses this word reconciled, reconciling, reconciliation. He talks about the ministry, that is the work of reconciliation, and then the word of reconciliation, which is the gospel. And notice that he states a great truth in verse 19. And that is very plainly and very simply, God was in Christ. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He was not simply a human being. He was not simply a prophet. He was God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 tells us that. And in John chapter 1 verse 14, the Bible says that the Word, which he just said in John chapter 1 verse 1, was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus said to the Jews that his miracles showed this. His great works proved that he was God in the flesh. Now, there's something very interesting here that you find in the last part of verse 19 and the first part of verse 20. And that is that he said that God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has committed, he has entrusted to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is the message whereby men are reconciled to God. Men can't just say, I'm going to be reconciled to God and do it any way that they want to. When men are separated from God, the only way back to God is through God's word. It is through Jesus' blood. It is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. Now, Paul says that God has committed to us the word which brings about that reconciliation. And because of that, that is what he said makes us and qualifies us to be ambassadors, because we have that message. We have that word, and we're sharing that word with the world. We're teaching that message to men, and that makes us ambassadors, he says in verse 20, for Christ. This is what ambassadors do. They seek peace. They promote peace. And ambassadors for Christ promote peace. Paul said that is exactly what we are. Paul used that word in Ephesians 6, verse 20, when he said, ironically, that he was an ambassador in chains. So Paul continues in verse 20, saying, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. They were Christians. They had been converted. But evidently, he's saying, be fully converted and reconciled to God in your heart, and especially all of you, because some of those people there still needed to repent. And in verse 21, Paul ends by saying, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The Bible says that there was no sin in Jesus, nor guile found in his mouth, 1 Peter 2:22, but he bore our sins on the tree so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.